that one, Ron? Red button's on here. Yeah. We'll get ourselves connected here in just a second. I know it worked 2 weeks ago when I was here. Well, while we're working on it here, he's going. It's a pleasure. You're going to pop a mic? Okay. All right. I try not to wander then. He said that you record the services so that when I wander over there, I wander over there. It's not picking it up, so I guess I'm stuck right here. I can't move, but that's okay. Okay. It is. Wow. Did it come on? You want me to turn this off now or what?
Yeah, it's good now.
What am I on? I'm on lapel now? Okay, now we're where we need to be. Hallelujah. It is good to be here. I know we've been praying for this Roe v. Wade decision, and my prayer for myself, I don't know about you, is when I confront some of these people who have no clue what it was all about. And I've got to confront them in love and in patience because I'm not very good at that. When I get somebody up in my face telling me certain things, I sometimes have a tendency to get right back at them. And I got to remember, you know, who I represent in a situation like that. I know we're flying to California on Tuesday, and I'm a little bit concerned about running into protesters and things along that nature. I read this morning out in L.A. there was a cop that was shot in a protest at the L.A. airport for this Roe v. Wade thing. And I have no clue, what Philadelphia is going to be like. And then when I get out into San Francisco and then walking around those places and things like that, it could be a mess. Of course, you guys have all heard what California is like. And it is true. But I go there to visit my son. We head up to Yosemite, to Mariposa County, where it is more redneck than it is here, okay? There's more people in Mariposa County that carry guns than people that carry guns in Tioga County, okay? And so that I go up there to be with, like brethren. I don't go down to wherever it is. So be in prayer, I mean, for yourselves as we confront these people. I know I stayed away from Wellsboro yesterday. I have no clue. Did anybody know how that idiotic drag queen reading went down at Wellsboro yesterday? I haven't heard anything about it. So my prayer was that it was a completely debacle. Have anybody heard anything? Right, exactly. Okay, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid. And
that's
good, yeah. I stayed away because I know how I get in. All I needed would be for one of them to come up to me and say something, and I probably would have let them know. But anyway, we need to be careful in our reactions. Be against it, but also portray Christ in how we respond. Because we've got to realize where these people are coming from and who's controlling them. So be in prayer for that. If you can think about a long-range term, pray for my wife and I. When we come back from California on July 10th, I got to get my surgery on the 12th. Okay, I'm getting my knees replaced. By the way, pray that I get a chance. I want to get down to Kettle Creek tomorrow I want to go after some brown trout, you know, before I get laid up. And then she goes for a heart ablation. I can't even drive her to a heart ablation because I won't be allowed to drive and things like that. So it's going to be a lousy time for us. And so I can't imagine her and I cooped up at the same time in the same house being down and not being able to help each other and somebody coming up and help. But that has a tendency to lead to short tempers, you know. So appreciate your prayers there. I want to praise the Lord for the fact that He has extended His mercy towards us. We receive mercy from God when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins. Is that not true? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I do not deserve the mercy that He displayed towards me. And when I think of this, how it was planned before the foundation of the world, He knew all this. He knew He was going to send His Son to be my Savior, to extend mercy to me and grace so that I could have this freedom in Him to live. But it becomes me to ask this question. And David asked the same question in the Psalms. He asked this question. He said, what can I render, or what can I give the Lord for all His benefits towards me? The mercy, the grace, everything that we have. David says, and we should be asking ourselves, what can we give unto Him? Can you give anything to God materialistically that He doesn't have already or He doesn't already own? We gave money here in the offering plate. Whose money was that to give? God's. We were just stewards of it, correct? All right. That automobile that we drove down to church in this morning, whose does that belong to? God. We're just stewards of it to use it wisely for Him. But what can we give? What can we give to a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, who owns the wealth in every mine? What can we give Him? Huh? Well, I'd like you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10. Now, this is, in context, this particular portion is spoken to the nation of Israel nationally, and we can take it that way as a nation that we can do these things. But also we can individually then pop in our own names in here, because what we see here is also found and correlated in the New Testament. But in Deuteronomy chapter 10, look at verses 12 and verses 13. It reads here, and now Israel. Now you can see the nation here. But you can also put in your name. Okay, and I'll put in mine. And now, Glenn, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee? What does He want? He gave us mercy. He gave us grace. He gave us benefits. What does He want in return? Or what can we give? Look at this. What does the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God? That's one. To walk in all His ways, that's two. To love Him, that's three. To serve Him, that's four. Okay? To serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. See, we have these things here that we can give unto God. And this is what we'd like to look at here basically this morning. Okay, Father, as we open into your word, we're going to look at these things. We want to be cognizant of the fact that you extended your mercy, you extended your grace. You have provided for us a myriad of benefits. And Father, what we can give you in return is what we see written here in your scriptures. And Father, we know that these are just reasonable and things that we certainly can do. Father, lead us into the thought this morning, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Now, what do we need to do here? Okay, the first one, number one, it says in chapter 12, it says, but to fear the Lord thy God. If you jump down to verse 20 a little bit, it also picks this up again. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. And it picks up on some other things here. Fear the Lord thy God. And when we think of the word fear, and we think of the word, what it really means, a lot of the meaning of it is we want here to be involved in all aspects of this. Basically today, whenever we hear the word fear, it generally is in a negative context. Fear, you know. Do we fear another summer of turmoil here in the United States of America? Okay? That kind of a fear, okay? And it's a good fear, but we want to think about all the fear, the aspects of the word fear when it says here, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Peter wrote, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. You see, he wrote that, picked up the same aspect in the New Testament. So when we think of this fearing the Lord our God, what we need to do is really fear him in adoration of his majesty. We need to be in awe. We need to be in fear of our majestic God. We have to have a deep love and respect for that. Have you ever seen the majesty of God? Huh? Sure you have. Have you seen him clothed? Sure you have. How many of you ever went on in a nice dark night and looked up into the heavens? Huh? And you saw how many stars? Okay, just shining. Okay, or how many of you have seen a wonderful sunset or a wonderful sunrise? Okay, have you seen those colors as they were painted across the skies, or the colors as they were painted across the landscape, the earth itself? You know, we live in a place where it's called the Grand Canyon, okay? When's the last time you were at the Grand Canyon? Huh? We live here, okay? People go for miles to see the Grand Canyon. But I tell you what, you know, I usually go up to the Grand Canyon about once a month, you know, because I can look there and I can see that. And, you know, it's very majestic. You go up there in an evening, and you watch that sun setting, and you look towards the western rim, I tell you what, it's gorgeous. Majesty of God. You go up to the Grand Canyon in the wintertime, in January, and it's freezing, and it's cold, and it's bitter. But you look down there, and you see everything in that blanket of white, and that crisp air. I'll tell you what, that's God's majesty. And we need to be in awe and fear of a God that created that. Because that was created by his authority. See, that's what we need to fear and respect also. God's authority. You know, how many of you grew up in a home where the father had the authority? I did. You know that? Dad was in control, you know. And you know what Mom used to always say to us when we were getting a little bit into trouble? You know what she said? What was that? Was that how, you know how many times I heard that? Did you really have to say that again? Huh? Yeah. Wait till your father comes home. And you know what that did to us? It put the fear in us. You know why? Not because I was afraid of the paddling. I mean, that was just a minor hurt, you know. I mean, you know. But I was fear because I knew he had all the authority to do that. Okay? And that's like God. God is in control. Russ mentioned it earlier in about the situation in Roe v. Wade. God is in control. He is in authority. He knows what is going on. We need to stand in awe of his power, the power of God. And we also need to dread his wrath. You see, fear has that aspect of it. Okay? You see, it could be there. You know, my mom used to tell me when I was growing up, she'd always tell me this. She would say, wherever you're going, she says, I want you to remember, Glenn, you are a Christian. Okay? You put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And wherever you're going, I want you to remember this. God is there. Okay? I might not be there. I might not know what's going on. I might not know what you're doing. I might not know, but God is there. And he knows. Make sure that you don't encounter any of his wrath on what you're doing. And that's true today. Okay? God is there. Fear God. Can we give God our fear? Can we give him the respect? Can we give him the adoration? Can we give this to him? You know, it is our duty. The preacher said in Ecclesiastics, that being Solomon, he wrote it this way. If you read the end of his book of Ecclesiastics, he summed everything up. And this was his summation. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. This is his conclusion. The wisest man ever on earth, okay? He had power, he had money, he had enablement to do anything, which he did. And to find out everything was vanity. And this is what he concluded. He says, this is the conclusion of the whole matter. And he said this, two things. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's conclusion. He said, this is the whole duty of man. So as a Christian, as one who has received Jesus Christ as your Savior, what is your duty? Your duty is to fear God and to keep his commandments. It's tough, but it can be done. Look what he says next here in Deuteronomy chapter 10. He says, you know, verse 12 here it says, what doth the Lord thy God require thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways. To walk in all his ways. Now, the word walk here, I think you generally realize that this is the word your lifestyle. Okay? This is how you live. This is what you do, where you go, what you say. Everything in your life. That is your walk. Okay? And what he says is we need to walk in all of his ways. Do you remember Paul wrote to the Ephesians about some walks. If you remember, and maybe you have taught this in Sunday school, maybe you've taught this in Vacation Bible School, but he talked about the five walks that are mentioned there in Ephesians. The first one, he said, it is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1. And he told us that we are to walk worthy of our vocation. Okay? What is your vocation? What is my vocation? Okay? Is Mark's vocation to repair cars? Is that what his vocation is? Huh? In the word today, in our world today, it would be, wouldn't it? But I think what we're talking about here, and if you look at the word vocation here, what this means is that your vocation, my vocation, as Paul was writing this to Ephesians, he says, your vocation is a Christian, and your vocation is an ambassador for God. That puts us in a different light, doesn't it? That we are to walk in a manner that represents Jesus Christ, and walk in a manner that represents heaven in everything that we do. Walk worthy of it. He also mentions later on, he wants to mention there that we are to not walk, this is a negative, not walk as other Gentiles walk. And then he gives in that particular portion of Scripture an example of how these Gentiles walk. I don't think I have to tell you how many of the unsaved people walk. No. Now, he was talking to Jews here and in a church, but he's saying Gentiles, but he says he uses Gentiles here because he's really talking the difference here between the saved and the unsaved. How does the unsaved walk? Okay. Any of us who work with unsaved people, we know exactly how they walk. We know exactly how they talk. We know exactly where they go. We know exactly what they do on weekends. We know exactly what their interests are. And Paul tells us in Ephesians that we are to not walk like that at all. I don't know how many times in certain situations, now I get this asked a lot in school because I work with elementary kids, and one of the things that you always do with elementary kids on Monday mornings when they come home from back to school from the weekend, you always ask them, what was your weekend was like? What did you do? How did it go on? Okay, you want to get them involved and find out something about it. So then they ask me, he says, well, what did you do this weekend, Mr. Hill? And I always tell them, well, I did this on Saturday. You know, I cut my grass, I painted my house, I went fishing, whatever. I say, and then Sunday I went to Sunday school, then I went to church in the morning, and then I went to church in the evening. And you know what they look at me like? Like, are you nuts? You know, you wasted your whole day like that? Okay, because that's not even in the radar of many people, is it? Okay, it's not even there. Okay, don't walk that way, he says. He says also in chapter 5, verse 2, he says we are to walk in love. Now, sometimes it's hard to walk in love, isn't it? Huh? It's very hard. Okay, I work with quite a few homosexuals. I work with quite a few lesbians. I don't know any yet that are transgender, okay? But I work with them. And I've had to pray for God to give me strength to act towards them in love. Some people will ask me, well, why do you even associate with them? Why do you even talk to them? You know, they're homosexuals. You're a Christian. Why even talk to them? And I say, Christ died for them just like he did for me. Okay? I don't have to like what they're doing, and they know I don't like what they're doing. Okay, I guarantee you, they know that I am against their lifestyle. However, they also know that how I treat them in love, okay, that I will respect them as a person, okay? And we need to walk in love towards everybody in this way. Okay, walk in love. He also tells us in Ephesians that we are to walk as children of the light, okay? We live in a dark world. We live in a dangerous world. We live in a world that is controlled almost by Satan and his emissaries. Everything is working up more and more and more and more. Okay, you guys have seen it. Okay. It's dark. We need to be what? Light. People need to be able to look at you, to look at your life, and see a light that is shining. Okay. Do you think people do not recognize that you go to church every Sunday morning where you live? They know it. And they see that light. And you know, that might be the only light that they ever see. So that when the time comes for God to use you, that he'll be able to. Okay, and you might be their means of salvation. It also says that we are to walk circumspectly in chapter 5 and verse 15. Circumspectly is not a word that we use very often in our English language today. But basically what circumspectly means is that we need to be careful. We need to be prudent. We need to be discreet. And we need to be accurate in how we walk and how we live. Circumspectly. Watch where you are. Watch what you're doing. You know, when my son was, your grandson was playing soccer for Penn State, he had to go through the NCAA guidelines of what they're supposed to be able to do, you know, no alcohol, no drugs. Did your kids do that, Mandy or whatever? Or, you know, they go through all this. And one of the things they tell them is that you need to be discreet and very careful with the pictures that you are in Facebook, okay? Because all that they needed to do was be for him to be have a picture taken of him somewhere and there was alcohol in the background. Even though he might not have been drinking, he might have just stopped in to say hi, or it was it wouldn't have mattered because they would have seen it, and he would have been hauled in because of NCAA violations. He needed to walk discreetly. And it's the same thing with us in our Christian life. We need to walk discreetly, circumspectly. Can we give this to God? Absolutely, we can give it to him. We can do it. I mean, it's not something we can't do. And I want you to look at another word in the same thing here. It says walk. We can give in. It says to walk in his ways, right? Isn't that what the scripture says right there? Read it carefully. It says to walk in his ways. Or just say all his. Who said that? All. Very good. All. How many? All. We have to be careful. But we can give it to him. Next thing it says, in his chapter 10, verse 12, it says, we can fear the Lord thy God. We can walk in all his ways. And we can love him. You know, the lawyer asked Jesus a question, trying to test him. And he asked the Lord, he said, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Do you remember that when the lawyer asked him that in the New Testament? He asked him that question. The greatest commandment. What is the greatest commandment? He was trying to tempt him. And Christ's answer was him, to him was, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's first, the first of the two greatest commandments. But notice what he said here. Love the Lord thy God with everything that you have. You know, we can fear him earlier as a great God, but now we can love him as a good God, a good Father. Love him sacrificially. Love him with a complete love. Love compels us to proclaim and to protect his word and everything else. I think of love, and if you look at love and how to treat someone, later on Paul talks about, in the scriptures there, is talking about loving your wife. Okay. Loving your wife. And I was thinking about this when I was preparing this. I said, how do I love my wife? You know, I says, I love her with every aspect of my being. I am honored to go somewhere with my wife. I am pleased to have her with me. I am pleased that she is with me everywhere I go. I love to go places where she is at. Okay? I go down to the hospital sometimes and wait around and spend 45 minutes just sitting there spinning my wheels waiting for her to get done just because I love to be with her there. I protect her. Okay? I watch out for her. I love her with my needs. The scripture says that you should love your wife as you love yourself. How do you love yourself? Well, you know what I know about myself? I know everything about myself. I know where I hurt. I know when I hurt. I know what I'm thinking. I know what I need. I know what's going on in my life. And you know, God says that we're to love our wives or our spouses in this same manner. And that means that in order to love her more, you know what I got to do to her more? I got to talk to her more. I got to listen to her more. Now, how does all this relate to the scriptures? Well, you know, where can we talk to God more? Where can we listen to him more? And I think of two things, prayer and the Bible. See, we can love God more. We can give him our love. We can give him our fear. We can give him our walk. We can give him our love. The next thing says that we can serve him. To serve your God with all your heart, with all thy soul. Hebrews, writer of Hebrews says, wherefore we receive in the kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. We can serve him. We can put ourselves under his rule. It is serving God only being a preacher? Is serving God only being a missionary? Okay. Or is serving God something that we can all do in every aspect of our lives? Okay. You know, I don't know what I'm doing tomorrow because I'm off, okay? I don't work in the summer times. But some of you work. Can you serve God where you work? Okay? I know when I get my car fixed at Mark, you know, he's serving God because he's talking to me all the time about God and what's going on and what's happening and things along that nature. I'm sitting there looking at my clock saying, come on, Mark, I got to get home. You know, my wife's waiting for me, you know, but I listen anyway, you know. But we can surf whatever we do. I said, I hope to go fishing tomorrow. Can I serve God going fishing in a trout stream in Kettle Creek? Huh? You betcha. I always pray when I go fishing, boy, I sure hope I run into somebody that I can talk to. Huh? You know? And I tell you what, that's an awful good way to serve the Lord, you know, when you're talking about stuff like that. So we can serve him no matter where. I better get done. We're only about 5 minutes left here. Okay, so we need to serve him. We need to put ourselves under his rule. We need to do our service to him cheerfully and with goodwill. David wrote again in the psalm, serve the Lord with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. We ought to be happy we are doing it, because we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. We can serve him in all aspects of our lives. I went to the doctors the other day. I had to get clearance for my physical, for my operation coming up. And one of the things that they're asking now is for this wellness stuff that they want everybody to be involved with. You know, you go in here, they ask you, do you feel suicidal? Do you have any guns in your house? Which I tell them it ain't any of your business, you know. Some of those things we can do. The new question she says is, what would be your greatest goal in life? I says, what does that have to do with me getting my knees replaced? She says, nothing, but I have to ask that question. Okay? Now think about that question. What is your greatest goal in life? Is that not a opening right there to get the gospel in and serve him, even when you're sitting there getting cleared? Okay? Hey, there's many opportunities out there we can look for him to serve him. The last one it says here is found there. To keep the commandments of the Lord, his statutes, which I command thee this day. Keep means to obey. That's all it means. To keep his commandments. John wrote in his first epistle, he says, for this is the love of God, that we keep or that we obey his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Now we have to take God's word at that. Anything he asks us or tells us to do, it is not grievous. It is not. Grievous really means to have severe pain, suffering, sorrow, oppressive. Nothing that he asks us to do, nothing of his commandments are that way. When he told us to forsake not the gathering of the saints, that means we should be in church. Is that grievous? Huh? Is that harmful? Huh? By no means. It's the other way. It builds you up. Things like that, you see. Keep his commandments. Now, it's hard to do these things. It's very hard. But these things we can give to God. In answer to David's question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits towards me? Can we not give him the fear that is due to him today? Do you give it to him? I can't answer that for you. I can only answer it for me. We can give him our unconditional love like he unconditionally loved us. We can love him with our whole being. And loving him would make us do things differently. Do we do that? Can we give him our lifestyle? Can we turn it over to him? You know, can we do that? Can we give him our obedience in what he wants us to do? Can we give him our service? When I think of what he gave me, when I think of this, I'm going to leave here today, Lord willing. Actually, I hope he comes before I get to walk out this door. But nonetheless, I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to get into a nice vehicle, and I'm going to turn on my air conditioning down to as low as I possibly can get it, okay? And I'm going to drive home and enjoy a wonderful drive up the road here and out to my place. I'm going to probably go to my church for the. If I leave here in time, I can get to my church for service. But I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be sitting there thinking, go home, get a wonderful meal, wonderful family, say, Lord, all these benefits that you have given to me, what can I give you? What can I give you? And these are not hard. What can you give God? Father, we want to thank you this morning for allowing us to look into your word. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you have given us, what you have given me. And Lord, when I think of all these things, and what you've given everyone here, but especially, Lord, the mercy that you have shown towards us. Father, it's an easy thing for us to be able to give you the fear that is due, the love, the lifestyle that is in you, the obedience and the service that you rightfully deserve. Lord, help us in each of these aspects of our lives so that we can be the soldiers, the light in the world today. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.